If you'll open your Bibles this morning to 2 Kings, we're going to look at a text in chapter 6, verse 17. I made mention of it yesterday, or last Sunday, which to me seems like yesterday. 2 Kings 6, 17. If you're taking notes, I've entitled the message, "The Big Picture." The Big Picture. 2 Kings 6:17, "Thus saith the Lord. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha." Let's pray and ask the Lord to give us understanding. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word, we pray that you would open up our eyes to the big picture. We pray, Lord, that you would be glorified. And we pray, Lord, that if there be one here who knows not Christ, that you might stir their heart. And we'd ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. In our text this morning, word gets to the Syrian king that there's a prophet in Israel who can discern everything that the king is doing. So what does he do? He sends a battalion, a couple thousand soldiers, to go and fetch this prophet, and his name is Elijah. So early one morning, as the prophet steps out on the balcony, he sees a battalion of horses and chariots and armed fighting men surrounding him. And as impressive as that sight must have been, I'm here to tell you the man of God wasn't the least bit intimidated. But when his servant came out and he saw the array that they were up against, the first thing out of his mouth was, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" Elijah's calm and reassuring answer was, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." You see, Elisha was a believer. He was a believer who saw the big picture of life. And he believes more than others because he sees more than others. And he sees more than others because he realizes that he lives in two worlds. In our account, his physical world was filled with a host of armed warriors who wanted to take him captive. And in his spiritual world, he saw a mountain full of holy angels mounted on horses and flaming chariots, and they were ready to defend him. It's for sure Elisha knew that he had a situation on his hands. But that overwhelming predicament didn't frighten him in the least. Because you see, Elisha saw the big picture. However, like many Christians today, his servant was blind and stricken with fear because he had not yet learned to look at things that are invisible. He was able to understand the legions of men and horses that surrounded them, but he couldn't see the spiritual forces that were there to defend them. 10,000 men, armed, in chariots and on horses with swords. It's an overwhelming power just to look at it. And the servant could look at that. He could measure it. He could calculate it. But what he couldn't see and what he didn't understand was the overwhelming power that was on the side of his master. So Elisha had pity on his poor servant. And our text says, Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha." What an incredible sight that must have been to that blind man. The confrontation between Elisha and the Syrian army is really a snapshot of life's big picture. It's a wonderful illustration of how believers should look at their world every single day. The first thing I'd have you note about our text is that Elisha saw the big picture because he knew he lived in two worlds. There's two worlds that each and every believer lives in. You have one world over here on planet Earth, and you have another leg right here planted in the spiritual realm. You see, when you were born, when you were knitted in your mother's womb, God made you a trichotomy creature. You were given a body. You were given a soul to discern all the things in this world. And then you were given a spirit. And that spirit is what makes you a spiritual creature. The Syrian troops surrounded the prophet, so they were certainly real enough to him. But so were the angelic hosts that were in the mountains waiting to protect him. Because he saw both the physical world and the spiritual world, he already knew that the battle was the Lord's and that he would be delivered. The point our text is making is that you can only see the big picture of life when you look at the physical world and the spiritual world together. And it's not necessary for me to point out to any genuine Christian that they're living in a physical world, because all they have to do is pinch themselves and they'll feel the pain. That's physical. However, it is necessary, and I might add unfortunate, to point out to genuine Christians that we are also called to live and to walk in the spiritual world as well. The Apostle Paul put it this way in Galatians 5:25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You see, my beloved, although God has made us from dust, and He has given us a soul, and He's given us five senses to discern our physical world with, we should never forget that He also gave us a spirit. And we should never forget there's not another creature on this planet that has the ability to communicate directly with their Creator, only man. That being said, our text also illustrates that although all men are physical and spiritual creatures, most men are blind to the spiritual world. What Elisha's servant, when he looked out, all he saw, all his eyes saw, were the legions of Syrian soldiers surrounding them. And what was his response to that? Alas, my master, what shall we do? That word alas signifies fear. What shall we do? Fear was his response, and fear is unbelief. He couldn't see the big picture because spiritually he was blind to what was really going on in that scenario. You see, after sin corrupted man in the garden, every infant born into this world is born blinded to spiritual matters and is in fact spiritually dead, the Bible says, in trespasses and sins. This generational death gene is what we call original sin. And we know that all mankind is infected with original sin because Romans 5:12 teaches us, by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We know that unbelievers are spiritually blind because 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us they are. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. And we know that every lost soul is spiritually dead, because Paul says it's true in Ephesians 2:1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." So you see, it's easy to understand why Elisha's servant would have an unbelieving eyes and would be blind to all the spiritual activity going on around him. It's easy to understand why so many lost liberal churches disgrace God's word by translating it into what they want it to mean. They're blind to the truth because the truth has not set them free yet. The Bible is just a history book, a book of morals. That's all it is to them. They see no spirituality in it at all. That's because Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 2:14, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." And it's also easy to understand why drug addiction, alcohol abuse, robbery, murder, and mayhem are so commonplace today. We see it all around us because the vast majority of people in this world have no spiritual hope. They're spiritually blind and dead to the spiritual things of God. Thus saith the Lord. Paul told the Ephesians that before they were saved, he wrote to them and he said, "You were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Ephesians 2:12. You see, for the lost, the Ten Commandments simply mean don't get caught. They have no spiritual significance to a race of people who are spiritually blind. So it's easy to understand why the world doesn't see the big picture. But what is hard to understand, my brethren, is why so many Christians who have been spiritually regenerated, who have been indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God Himself, and had the scales lifted from their eyes, it's hard to believe that they still are spiritually blind. And since God is perfect, and all that He does is perfect, then the only reason why believers are, if not blind, they certainly are nearsighted to spiritual things, is because they're not looking at their life with spiritual eyes, the eyes of faith. What they're doing is they're using the old man's 20/20 vision. So when the trials of life fall down upon us, just like Elisha's servant, the first thing out of our mouth is, "Alas, what shall we do?" But the one who has spiritual eyes and sees the big picture will say, "This may not look good. It may even leave a mark. It certainly won't feel good. But I see in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. So I know no matter what I face in this life, no matter what it is, ultimately, it will be well with me." Or when the pain of disease or injury encamps against us, we may cry out to God for help, but soon our focus is back on ourselves. However, the one who sees the big picture, the one who looks at the pain through spiritual eyes, what they see is the refiner's furnace at work and the dross of their life being removed. They hear the words of Psalm 66:10, "Fear thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried." You see, when you're in the refiner's furnace, you're not there by chance, luck, or coincidence. You're there because God wants to knock off the rough edges in your life. You're there because he wants to bring you to a place that he knows you need to be at. And just like children, we rebel against that because we don't look at it with spiritual eyes. And when divine providence brings people or events and situations into our lives, both bitter and sweet, our first words are usually, "I can't believe that." These are words that come from disciples who have not yet learned to see the invisible. These are words that prove we're not looking at the big picture. These are words that come from hearts that have forgotten Genesis 28:15. "And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of." You see, my beloved, when you take God out of the big picture of your life, all you're left with is 20/20 carnal vision. I'm not saying you're not a believer if you do it. I'm just saying you're acting like an unbeliever because you're looking at your life just like an unbeliever. And even though you may be plugged into the power source at Calvary, you may be plugged into the blood of Jesus Christ, if you're not looking at your life through spiritual eyes, you can't see the big picture, because you're only looking at half of what's going on. You're missing the part where God is watching over you. You're missing the part where God delivers you. And you're missing the part where He walks through the furnace with you. Having spiritual eyes, my dear friends, and using them as you sojourn here on this planet is a gift from God. And He gave it to you so you would use it. For example, do you understand that only spiritual eyes can see the truth in, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Only spiritual eyes can understand that all believers have already died. And now we're alive in Christ. Death has no claim on you. That's what spiritual eyes see. You're never going to die. Your body, the perishable part of you that God has not yet regenerated, is going to die. But you're not going to die. And spiritual eyes can see life beyond death. And that's a gift. And a glorious life at that. Spiritual eyes can read Revelation 21:1. And see a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. You can see that with spiritual eyes. And only spiritual eyes can see heaven and then be able to claim a share of it as a joint heir with Christ. Only spiritual eyes can do that. Beloved, if you want to get past living your life like an unbeliever, you have to look beyond what is surrounding you. You have to look beyond the army that's encamped against you. And I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's money. I don't care if it's pain. Whatever it is that's encamped in your life, you have to get beyond it. You have to look into the mountains. And you have to see the living God is there for you. You have to look to the author and the finisher of your faith. You have to look for Him working in your life every single day. That's how you see the big picture. This morning I'm sitting on my porch. My message was done, but there was something lacking in it. For a preacher, you know right here, you're missing something. You don't know what it is. It's like a good cook that tastes something they're preparing, and they say it's missing something. What is it? And I sat on the porch with my little Cavalier King Charles Spaniel and said, "Lord, I did everything the way you told me. I got every point you gave me. But it's missing something. What is it?" And I'm here to tell you, when Eric mentioned about how God has blessed me with me and Meredith with our home, that's the smallest thing in my life. Something much greater than where I'm going to live for the next 20 or 30 years happened this morning as I was sitting on my porch with my little dog. I'm sitting there trying to find the secret ingredient for this message for you. And I said, Lord, show me. And it wasn't 30 seconds when a man walked down the street with another dog. I've seen this man for 15 years walk down that street. I don't like his dog too much, but the man is wonderful. 10 years ago, he got saved. I didn't know that till this morning. He's walking down the street, and for the very first time, my dog barked at his dog. Never did it before. It caused him to stop and said, "What's up with Charlie?" That's my dog. He never barks. I said, "I don't have a clue." So he came over and said, let's let him be friends. And as we were doing that, I noticed that his house was up for sale. So I said, you know, it's a bad time to sell a house. And he said, yeah, everything that's going on, he says, and he pointed this way, and he said, it's the only way we can understand everything is to look up. I almost fell on my knees right in front of the man. That's what I was looking for. And God delivered it through this man walking his dog. You see, if you have spiritual eyes, it helps you to deal with all the things you don't understand. Because otherwise, it doesn't make any sense. I almost wept. I prayed for the man. He was going to a karate thing this afternoon. And I prayed for him. I went upstairs and I said to my wife, I said, honey, I said, guess what? I said, I got a God that loves me so much. He hears me. And it isn't 12 heartbeats. And he sends someone, a brother in Christ, to give me what I needed in this. Oh, I love him. The house, Eric, is wonderful. And I thank him for it. But when I see him working in my life like that because I opened my eyes, I could have went upstairs and said, hey, honey, I got another idea. I think I know what I needed, but I know that man came there just for me. I know Charlie barked the very first time in 15 years at that dog, well, 10 of his years, because God called him to do it, to stop that man so that man could give me that ingredient here. You see, brothers and sisters, that's how you make sense of your world. And if you don't think that's true, just ask any believer. They'll tell you the world is full of chaos. The world is crazy. They don't understand it, but you do. You should never forget that on every mountain in your life, every mountain, wherever you are, God has a host, a legion of angels. Hebrews 1, I'm going to take a stab at verse 14, says they are ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation, and that's you. They're yours. But you have to open your eyes to see them. If you're sitting here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, then you have no spiritual eyes. But if you feel this message stirring your heart, then see me after the service. And I'll show you in God's Word how He's calling you. He's stretching out His hand and He just wants you to take hold of it. And do that through Jesus Christ. And for my brothers and sisters, my prayer for you this morning, the prayer I want you to take home with you this morning, is the prayer of Elisha. Lord, I pray thee, open their eyes that they may see. And just like Elisha's servant, I pray that your eyes, your spiritual eyes, will be open to the world around you. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for, I thank you first of all, Lord, for just that wonderful gift this morning. I thank you, Lord, for the testimony you give me every day of your hand. I pray, Lord, that eyes would be opened, that their worlds, the world out there, Lord, we would see in it Christ in everything, Lord. You would give us that ability. I pray, Lord, that you would open up all of our eyes, that we may look at every act, every conversation, everything that happens, bitter or sweet, with a spiritual perspective. And I'd ask it in Christ's name. Amen.